Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So Augustus Toplady was a clergyman born in England in 1740, and his ministry was mostly in Somerset, and he was the author of our hymn today, Rock of Ages. There is a common story about the Rock of Ages, that it was inspired or even written in Burraton Coombe when Toplady was moving between places and got caught in a storm. It's said that he took shelter in the rock and was inspired to write this hymn. And I remember as a venture scout in my teenage years, caving, or what some call potholing, up in Burraton Coombe, and seeing this plaque on the rock and wondering about this hymn, which I did even then vaguely know from school, as it were. So. Sadly, my research has shown that that's almost entirely untrue, so, or almost likely to be untrue, because it was probably propagated by one of Toplady's fellow clergy years after his early death. But the truth brings some interest anyway. It seems that Toplady spent much of his short life in conflict with Charles and John Wesley, the famous evangelists and hymn writers themselves. He initially, at the time of his ministry, Toplady's ministry, the Wesley revival was sweeping through our nation. And Toplady was initially really keen on this, but very soon realised that he had quite a major difference in theology between himself and them, all about predestination. So right now I'm going to get Jill up to explain to you about predestination. No, I won't go into predestination, but simply said it's about whether we choose to follow Jesus or whether we are preordained to follow, you know, whether God chooses us to follow him, as it were. And you can talk about that over coffee if you want, that's fine. So, but that was the conflict between them, and it was really heated, actually. And pamphlets and articles were written, ferocious pamphlets and articles were written from both sides. It'd be like in this modern age, a Instagram or a Twitter battle going on. But so it was really quite nasty in places. And this sort of this bad feeling between fellow Christians spilled out into the public arena. I love this quote from Toplady, the author of our hymn. It says, "I believe John Wesley to be the most rancorous hater of the gospel system that ever appeared in this island. Wesley is guilty of satanic shamelessness." So there you go. Next time I do something you don't like, I can be guilty of satanic shamelessness. Can you imagine me saying that about Tom Kenner or Jonathan Jeffrey? You know, I think the bishop would be over here too sweet, wouldn't he? So, and it's all sort of built up and built up. And then Toplady in 1776 wrote an article actually using some of the words of Wesley, which to go against their theology. And you'll recognise these words. "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from which thy wounded side flowed be a sinny, the double cure, safe from wrath and make me pure." The verse of our hymn, vaguely, well, mostly the same words. It was a deliberate attack on the Wesley theology, using the words of Charles Wesley himself, actually. Charles Wesley had written a hymn 31 years earlier with some very similar words again. Listen to these words from Charles Wesley. "O rock of our salvation, see the souls that seek their rest in thee. Beneath thy cooling shadow hide, and keep us, Saviour, in thy side. By water and by blood redeem, and wash us in the mingled stream." So it would seem that one of our nation's favourite hymns should at least admit that it was partly written by one of the Wesleys. So, and again, the different versions are very slightly different, pull upon the different theologies that they were arguing about at the time. And if you do look in our hymn book, you'll notice, like in many hymn books, there's a little bracket ALT, alternative, which is an acknowledgement that actually Toplady rewrote this hymn rather than wrote it, as it were. So. So that's its story. Now, when it comes to scriptures, for me, the second verse says, "Not the labours of my hands can fill thy law's demands." So the song that we sing is about actually admitting that we can't come to God through our works alone. The recognition that Jesus is required and offers his forgiveness and our salvation for free. At great cost, but for free to us. Which is why that I chose that gospel where Jewel read, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Which is why we've just done our confession, because we come because we couldn't possibly be holy enough, as it were, to enter God's kingdom. But we do so through the grace of God himself. So we don't fear the Lord. When we sing our hymns to him and when we sing our songs to him in praise, we know that he first loves us, that he sent Jesus. When all else fails around us and we have sinned yet again, or is it only me that seems to do that repeatedly, we can turn to the Lord and know that he loves us and he's there. He's our rock of ages. Again, that passage read by Sandra from King David. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my saviour." It's hardly surprising that both Top Lady and the Wesleys use the idea of God being a rock, isn't it, when you hear words like that from our scriptures. So that's the story of our hymn, the story of the scriptures. And I guess for us, what do we take away from this? What's our story? I guess the most obvious question to ask is God our rock? But I shall leave you to ponder that one for yourself. Because the thing that came to my mind in this story was not the hymn itself, actually, but was the argument between Top Lady and the Wesleys. The way that they argued in front of the public arena. They brought, I think truthfully, they brought shame through their sin on our Christian faith. It's amazing, isn't it, how someone like Top Lady or the Wesleys can be so great in many areas, can bring such great hymns for us to sing and to be great preachers and evangelists, and yet blind in a little area of sin. And I say that very carefully, knowing I'm equally the same as they are. And you know, you hear me say this time and time again, but Jesus said, by the way that we love one another, by the way that we disagree with one another, people who don't come to our churches will know that we are his disciples. So I think for me, that's the biggest lesson to learn here today. We will disagree. You know, when we look around the parishes and the other churches around here, we all have slightly different ideas about theology. Even in this church, we can have slightly different ideas about theology. But we place Jesus at the centre, and in the way that we disagree with each other and love one another anyway, others will see that we love God and we love them. So we thank Top Lady for his hymn and Charles Wesley for the same hymn. But perhaps not for their example. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.